Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, tune in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are so excited. I am so excited to have my special guest on tonight. I want you listeners to put your seatbelts on because you are in for a treat on tonight. And we just give God the glory in advance for what he's about to do through my special guest on tonight. None other than my brother in Christ, Brother Scott McIntyre, and his wife, Sister Christina McIntyre, are my special guest on tonight. They were on American Idol, the TV show American Idol. So they are my guests on tonight. I'm asking all listeners to get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready, as we always ask you to do, because we always want you to be able to read what God has sent to us through his people, through his word, because he said his people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And so we don't want anyone to ever think that we're making up things as we go. We want you to be able to read it for yourself. So that's why it's important to have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along as we continue to go through and forward in this worldwide platform on tonight. We always open it with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again on tonight, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. And Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, my guests on tonight, Brother Scott McIntyre and his wife, Christina, and their entire family, and all saved believers all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, we come thanking you for your grace and your mercy on tonight. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We come lifting up all those that are bereaved on tonight. I lift up the family of Brother Clifton Buchanan, our brother in Christ, who made his heavenly transition on yesterday. We praying for his wife and sister, Loretta Buchanan, and entire Buchanan family. They were married for 66 years, and he made his heavenly transition on yesterday. So we continue to lift that family up in prayer. Not only them, but all those that are bereaved on tonight that have lost loved ones. Continue to comfort and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. Let them feel your peace, your presence, your love, and your joy, even as they're grieving. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are our healer. We thank you that you are healing and you're setting your people free. You are still working miracle signs and wonders even on tonight. So we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver. Heavenly Father, as only you can, that you get the glory in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit over the airwaves on tonight through our guests, that you get the glory. Should there be any listener on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, that they will be inspired through your word, through the testimonies, through the songs on tonight, that they will open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and save them. And once they are saved, they will come to know their own individual God purpose in the earth, that they will fulfill it for your glory in the name of Jesus, we pray. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in, even for those that have tuned in for the time on tonight. Bless them as well and grant them all the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. We just give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we do have another scripture. And it comes to us saying, God wants us to trust in every. Again, tonight's scripture food for thought. God wants us. Who is the us that we're talking about? We're talking about saved believers. Saved believers in Jesus' name. God wants us to trust him in every situation. I pray that you have your pens and paper ready because I have one or two announcements that I would like to make before I bring forth my special guests on tonight who are standing by. Again, my special guest on tonight is Brother Scott McIntyre of Scott McIntyre's Ministries with his wife, Sister Christina McIntyre. They are my special guests on tonight. Again, they appeared on the TV show American Idol. So we are so pleased and we're so honored to have them as our special guests on tonight. But in the form of announcements, please make these notations, please. Every second Thursday night, Minister Benny Gaskin II from Atlanta, Georgia, delivers God's word over this worldwide platform. Again, Minister of Music. He has been ordained and elevated to minister of the gospel. Now, he's a musician, and also he is a minister of the gospel. So he is now Elder Benny Gaskin II from Atlanta, Georgia. He delivers God's word every second Thursday night over this platform. And then also we have none other than Pastor Norman King, my first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina. He is the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina. He delivered God's word every fourth Saturday night and every fourth Thursday night because we had to make some changes. The Sunday school superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor, where I serve as their musician, the Sunday school superintendent, Edward Blakely, delivered God's word every third Saturday night over this worldwide platform. Then we have Minister Tawan Eppinger. He delivered God's word over this worldwide platform every first Saturday night. He is also a member of the Morning Star Baptist Church where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is pastor. And finally, I would like to remind the listeners that God has blessed my youngest sister to write her second children's book. It's titled The Littlest Garden at the Gate, along with her other children's book called The Best of Joy. God has blessed her to open up her own children's store and website where you can buy and purchase the Littlest Garden at the Gate. He has his book. He has a coloring book. He has a puzzle. He has a variety of T-shirts. And then there is this little pillow with Josh DeGard with his face on it. And the kids are loving the pillow, and they love the T-shirts. And then he has a little theme song. So if you want to purchase items for your little ones in your life, go to this website, www.joshdegard.com. Donata Barney is my youngest sister. Again, her website and her children's store website is www.joshdegard.com. www.thebestofyourself.com if you want to be a blessing to the little ones in your life. So right now, I am so excited once again to have our special guest on tonight, Brother Scott McIntyre, and we're going to start out with him. He's getting ready to, first of all, thank you, Brother Scott and Sister Christina McIntyre, for being my special guest on tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Scott McIntyre if he would start off with sharing with me and also the worldwide listeners, if he would share with us a testimony, please.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It's really great to be here.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to be with you tonight.
So fun to be back talking with you again, James. And this is really, really special for us because James reached out to me and Christina after he saw our television special in Detroit, and he just shared that it really touched your life, James, that God brought you at the right time, at the right moment to turn on your TV and see us singing. And we God brought us into full-time ministry very recently, and so we're just continuing to marvel at how he's just sharing words of encouragement through our songs and through our words with people at the right time. Amen.
Amen.
It's so encouraging to see that. So, you know, I became a Christian, and Christina, similarly, we both became Christians really young after vacation Bible school, if anyone out there knows VBS.
It's so special because our son is now doing VBS too. He's 4.5. We also have a baby daughter, Stella, but to see him going through that program and singing songs and learning Bible verses and just engaging with God that way is special, because for us, we did the same thing. So as parents, we get to see him go through that too.
It definitely changed my life, right? When you come to Jesus, I remember this sense of overflowing joy. Even as a kid, with what little I understood that God was doing something in my heart, you know. And listeners may not know, but if you remember the name Scott McIntyre from American Idol, I was the blind pianist on the show. I've been blind from birth, and so God's given me some obstacles, some trials to work through in life, and so. You know, there have been different times when that's grown more deeply. But growing up, you know, I really, I knew God was working through my disability. I knew that He was touching the lives of others through that, through my pain. He was encouraging others, and so people ask me all the time, you know, if I could wish away my disability, would I? And the answer is, you know, I'm not sure I have a definitive answer to that, but for a long time I said no, because, you know, I've seen what my disability has allowed God to do in the lives of others. And so I'd have to think about it long and hard, at least, you know. So I grew up and I got pretty good at overcoming and just overcoming whatever trial came up in my life. And I got so good at that, I started to believe that if I worked hard enough, or if I got creative enough, I could overcome any obstacle that life threw my way. And so I learned to ride a bike without seeing, like you see, you know. I learned to play the piano without being able to read the sheet music. I got through school, but God was about to do something in my life that I had never imagined, that I had never planned for. And at 19 years old, I found out that my kidneys were failing. And all of a sudden, here was a situation that I could not help myself out of in and of my own strength. It was going to take someone else outside of me doing what I could not do to save my life. It didn't matter how creative I got. It didn't matter how hard I worked. It was going to take someone else to do what I could not do. And so my faith got a lot more real at that point. I've been through two kidney transplants now. The first kidney was given to me by the wife of my piano teacher from college. And the second transplant. I was given given the kidney by an anonymous living donor, someone that I had never met, never done anything for, who saved my life. And I just look at that story and I see the gospel so clearly represented. You know, just like I was powerless to save myself physically, until two times in my life someone stepped in and gave me the gift of life with a kidney. We are all powerless to save ourselves spiritually. We're powerless to do anything about our sin problem, right? And yet Jesus steps in with the much greater gift of eternal life. He gives much more than his kidney. And we actually got to meet my kidney donor a little bit after that.
Yeah, it was a really special time. We found out that she was actually 27 years old at that time. She was very much a single mother to three wonderful kids, yet she was able to give more. So it's just a selfless example of the kind of way that Christ loves us.
Yeah. And so, wow. So you know, that really helped us to internalize the gospel and kind of put some feeling behind it, because it's hard when we aren't with Jesus physically yet, and yet we're united with him in spirit. It takes a lifetime to be able to understand what he's actually done for us. You know, we believe it. We search for ways to experience it more deeply. We meditate on it. We speak truth to ourselves from God's word. We remind ourselves what he says about us and how he says we are saved, we are chosen. But I think someone giving me a kidney just put some flesh on that concept for me of what it, just a little bit of what, in a human sense, it might look like to sacrifice in that way for the well-being of someone else. And so so it just really, really impacted us. And then it's a story that we get to take out now and share with people around the world, and we see it transforming others' lives as well.
I'm sure. And you know what? And not only did you say you didn't have one kidney transplant, but you had two kidney transplants.
Yeah.
So that means, and I like how you put that, because you said that some things that we have no control over, that was all in God's divine plan for you. And not only because you have the two kidney transplants, and as I was telling the listeners before, a couple of weeks ago before you all came on tonight, I was letting them know in advance that you are physically blind. You are physically blind, but I said, but he can see. Thank God you can see physically. And that's why I think that's what moved me when God had me turn on my TV and I saw you on the television that early morning, you and your wife. Had no idea that you were physically blind until you got to talking, and then you started sharing your testimony about the two kidney transplants. Nobody but God. And that's why I let the listeners know that no matter what your physical handicap may be, don't let that stop you from doing what God has called and ordained for you to do. Because we do have another guest on my show every first Thursday night and every Saturday night, Deacon Marvin Cox. He suffers with muscular dystrophy, and he crawls around on the floor. That's the only way he can move around, is crawling on the floor. He used to be able to go out to the church physically, but he can no longer do that now. But he's my guest on this show, on this worldwide platform, twice a month, delivering God's word. So I tell people all the time, that's why I'm so excited to have you on this platform tonight, Brother Scott McIntyre and your wife, Christina. Because you all are living examples that no matter what your handicap might be physically, God can still use you. And that's why I am so excited about having you all on tonight. And that's why I asked you to share your testimony, Brother Scott McIntyre, because God said he would share his glory with no one. And just like God has blessed you, even though you are physically blind and you have had two kidney transplants, God has no respect of persons. There's no telling what God is going to be able to do through other people that just heard your testimony. As long as they don't throw in the towel, as long as they hold on to their faith and hold on to God's unchanging hands, there's no telling what God is going to do in their lives. That's why it's important that we share our testimony that others can
Thank
know you,
that. Thank you,
James.
Yeah, that's so
us.
True. And I can say just, you know, being married to Scott and walking through this journey with him, it is definitely like an example of God's love for us. And we have to recognize that some of the things we go through, they're not things that we would choose, but they're things he
right.
allows as a way to refine us and bring us closer to him. And,
right.
you know, for me, I was, Scott and I actually knew each other when we were teenagers. So we were friends when he went through his first transplant. And I remember, you know, him getting sick and going over to pray for him and laughing at things. Well, it's not so funny now, but he had to wear a mask after, which was very strange, you know, 15 years ago. And then, yeah. And so going through it as his wife, though, and being along for the ride in a much different way was definitely a time of growth for me. So even though I grew up blessed to be in a Christian home and taught God's word and had my own kind of faith journey along the way, I would say that that time when we went through that second transplant was when I experienced the most growth so far in my walk. And it wasn't easy at times, but in a way it was just so pure, because I feel like everything in our life was just distilled down to the things that mattered most, really, was our relationship with God, and then how we shared God with other people through our story that we were living out. And
Amen.
I think that he blessed us with the ability to see what we were going through while we were still in the trial. So I'm, you know, we've all heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20, right? And that has a totally different meaning now. But back then when we went through this, we were trying to see what God was doing in the midst of the trial, not waiting until we got past the trial. And for us, that was huge. That was really huge. And other people saw that and just saw that hope that we had in Christ, because we honestly didn't know what the next day or the next week would hold. We didn't know if this was ever going to get resolved. We didn't know if he'd get the transplant, if he'd make it through the surgery, if we'd get a donor, any of those things, or if the transplant would even last or work. We had no idea. So we thought, well, while we're in the trial, while we're in the valley, before we're back on the mountain, how can we praise God and be thankful and live life to the fullest every single day? And that's what we did. And we were able to say that up until that point, that was the best year of our life, because God gave us that grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I am so happy for you both of you all. I am so excited, and I am so glad that God connected us. This was of the Lord's doing, and that's the word of God said, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I just give God the glory for how he connected us together. So I thank you again for sharing that testimony of Brother Scott and Sister Christina McIntyre. So right now I'm going to get right into your questions that I have for you on tonight. My first question to you, Brother Scott, is how did you and your wife, Christina, meet?
Well, we're celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary this year. And so we've been married for a little bit here, but we met when we were pretty young, actually.
Yeah, so I alluded to that, but we actually met back in 2003, and we're going to date ourselves here, but I was 14 and Scott was 17. So we were in a church theater musical production of The Music Man. I don't know if anyone listening is familiar with that, but it's the old classic musical. And we both had parts in that. And we just met at that point. And we had been in some other similar circles. We were actually both homeschooled growing up. And my dad was their family dentist. So we had that connection too. But we were just friends for quite a few years. And I think that there was some chemistry going on at that point and maybe later, but it wasn't until I was graduating from college or so that we started dating. That was after American Idol, so I think I just had to wait till he had something going for him.
Yeah, she had to wait till I had something going, you know, and then it was, yeah.
Okay, so my next question to you.
go ahead.
My next question to you all is, how, Brother Scott, how did you come to be, or how did you come to get be on the TV show American Idol? How did that happen? How did you come to be a part of, on the TV show American Idol?
Well, he decided he had to impress me, so I guess that was the one thing.
that was the main reason. Yeah. No, you know, people started to ask me, James, you know, if I'd ever thought about auditioning, and they said, oh, if you do, we'll vote for you. And, you know, honestly, when they started allowing people to play instruments on the show, that's when I thought I would give it a try. And because the piano is just something I love to play and sing at the same time. And I know you play organ, and it's, you know, there's something about sitting at the keyboard there and singing. And so when they did that, I thought, I'll give it a shot. And it was such a blessing. I ended up making it to the, you know, pretty close to the end. I was in the finalists, and I did the whole tour with them that summer. We did 52 arenas that year, and then it just kind of launched me into, you know, into other things over the years. And it was a long road from mainstream music into Christian music, and then into worship, and then now into full-time ministry. But God has slowly been refining where He's called us and revealing that to us little by little. And I had no idea when I was on American Idol that He was laying the foundation for evangelism, for discipleship, you know.
Right. And it's all for His glory. That's what the devil is all about, that through you, even though I'm going back to you being physically blind, but you're spiritually, you can see. But then you are playing the piano blind. But God, being who He is, He had preordained and predestined you for this. So He already knew way before the foundation of the world that this was going to be. And through you and your wife and the ministry that He has called you into, you all, He is being glorified through you and your wife and through the ministry that He has placed upon you. So my next question to you is, what's the difference between being faithful and dedicated to God?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think my first comment would be just to ask you, maybe define for me a little bit what you mean by faithful and what you mean by dedicated. That could kind of help us, or help me wrap my head around how to answer.
Well, some people are faithful. See, God says we have to be faithful unto death. We have to be faithful to God all the way. Once we become saved in Jesus' name, we have to be faithful to God in the calling upon our lives. We have to be faithful to God. We have to have faith in God. He says, without faith, you know, work is dead. Without works, you know, it takes faith to please God. So we have to be faithful. And then once we're faithful and we get into the ministry or whatever God has called us into, are we dedicated to it? Are we fully committed to it? Are we fully dedicated to it, that God is going to get the glory from it?
Yeah, I think the first thing that jumps out to me is I think it's kind of a difference between the heart and the head. So faithfulness being a heart thing, dedicated being a head thing. So maybe, you know, the things you do and how you act it out versus, you know, how you have a posture towards God. And I don't think it's an either or thing. I think even our ability to be faithful to God is given to Him in His faithfulness. And when we're unfaithful, He is faithful.
Yeah. It's like, you know, throughout history, he's always, you know, people have been unfaithful to God over and over again, right? Every people group. And in spite of that, He's always preserved a remnant, you know, and I totally agree with Christina. Even our ability to praise Him, our ability to choose Him is a gift that's given by Him through His faithfulness. You know, and when so many have disobeyed and we've chosen our own ways so many times, He still brings the gospel forward out of a faithful few. And I like how you separated it too, with the, you know, the beginning of our faith journey, when we place our faith in God, and then the dedication flowing out of that. And I think that that fits together with what we're talking about here, because truly only God is always faithful. Only God is always faithful, but he can help us to dedicate our lives again and again to his service.
Yeah, when I think of dedicate, I think of how at a church, you know, you would dedicate your child, right, to the Lord. And in the Bible, we see examples of that too, parents dedicating their children. But being faithful is kind of the thing, you know, ongoing maybe, even though, you know, sometimes we fall and mess up, you get back and you keep going in your journey.
Yeah,
that's right. And the Bible talks about being faithful unto death. When we become in the body of Christ and we start working our whatever God has ordained us to do, we have to do it from that day, from that very first day, all the way until the day that God calls us home and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So that's why it takes faith in all to be faithful.
I think the picture that comes to my mind when you read that passage is the martyrs overseas that are dying today, that are literally being faithful to the point of death, to the point of an early death. But I've seen that more, you know, we see more today of what's going on around the world than we used to because of social media and all that. But it makes us think, you know, if we were in that position, would we still cry out the name of Jesus? And I love to believe that I would, and you would, and Christina would. And that's kind of, I've almost, you know, found myself just in my pondering, wishing that I had that chance to stand there and at the point of death still claim the name of Jesus. And then I shared that with someone and they said, well, you know, in your own way you have. And I think that's the same for you, James. I think that's the same for Christina, for anyone listening who is following Christ and has faced adversity. If you have praised him through that suffering, that's a test in a way.
Oh yes. Yeah, he does test our faith. God will test our faith.
Yeah.
And the enemy knows that we are tested. Right now we're gonna go to your first song we're gonna play right now. And following the conclusion of your first song, Brother Scott, we're gonna come back with some more questions. We're going to play song number one right now.
Sounds great.
They say one life is all you got. Better make the most of it before your time runs. But I say there's something they should. It's not about what you have or what you've done or who you are. It's not about where you've been or what you've left or what takes you over. Thank you.
Okay, praise the Lord. So
that was a.
Cut that one back. Go ahead. Go ahead and elaborate on that song real quick, Brother Scott.
Yeah, It was a song that I wrote when I was looking down. The song's called "Look Up," with an exclamation point. My co-writer thought that we should put an exclamation point in it. So it's "Look Up!" exclamation point. But it's really just meant to encourage people that no matter what you're facing, God has a plan. He is sovereign, and he doesn't waste our suffering. It's up to us how we respond to suffering. We are going to suffer in this life. But suffering for Jesus has a purpose, and suffering with Jesus is very, very purposeful.
Oh, yes. And I'm glad you kind of elaborate on that, because that leads me right into my next question to you, and it kind of ties in with that song. But right now I'm going to ask you if you would kind of give words of encouragement to others, to my listening audience, because some people are, you know, they're trying to walk this faith walk, and they're trying to be fully dedicated to the Lord. But sometimes they can get discouraged, and they want to throw in the towel. So I want you to give words of encouragement to others how they can fulfill their own God purpose.
That's a great thing to talk about, James. You know, we were created to worship God. And, you know, the word worship, it really talks about ascribing worth to something. That's really just what it means. It's what we ascribe worth to is what we worship. Mm-hmm. It's not some kind of, you know, mystical, mystical thing.
That's right.
We're all ascribing worth to something, right? But when we do what we were created to do, when we worship what we were created to worship, that's when we find true joy. And, you know, so it's a process, because we're human. We like safety nets. We like to be independent, like I was as a blind person learning to get through school, even though I was blind, you know, and until the kidney transplant of your life happens. And you realize ultimately you are dependent on God. Apart from God, we can do nothing. Nothing. And so that's the turning point where we're able to truly ascribe worth to God above what we might want, or above our house, or above our friends, or above our you know, whatever we did in school or in our growing up. We ascribe worth to God that he is due.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And when we're created to do, when we're doing what we're created to do, is when we're the most satisfied. So I can definitely say from a personal place, all of the experiences in my life and so much of my educational background and different things, I can look back and see how God's prepared me for doing what it is I'm doing today. And so much of it, I definitely couldn't have seen it at the time. I just took the one experience and then the next experience and, you know, the mentoring that someone gave me or the word of God that I heard at that time. And I look back and see, okay, now I see what God was doing. So we should always be looking ahead and saying, okay, so this thing I'm going through now, I got to assume it's preparing me for the next thing God has for me. And
right.
I can't see it right now. I may not know what's happening,
right.
But I can kind of have that peace and assurance that he's preparing me for something else later.
We need to seek first. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. And he will take care of all the other stuff. We don't need
to,
you know, if you don't know what your, you know, what your specific life calling is yet, you know, you just start searching after the heart of Jesus. Just start spending time in his word, spend time with him in prayer, because when you align your heart with God's heart, all of the other stuff will fall into place.
Yeah, I'm a witness. That's the truth. And I tell people all the time, Brother Scott and Sister Christina, because a lot of people do ask me that question, you know, I don't even know what my God purpose is. And I, like you said, you have to spend time with God in prayer, seeking God. And then I always add this. I say, if you don't know what your God purpose is, it's really simple. Pray, seek God, and pray from your heart and mean it and ask God what it is that he wants you to do in this earth, in this life, for him to get the glory out of your life. It's real simple. He wants you to know what your God purpose is. Before we come, we're running kind of short, real quick, and I want to get to these other few questions for you all right now. My next question is, how do you think people react to you, Brother Scott, because of your life story, because of you had the 2 kidney transplants and you're physically blind, but thank God you're spiritually, you can see spiritually. How do people around the country, I know you travel around the world ministering, so not only in the United States, but around the world, how do people react, or how do you think people react to you because of your life story?
I see people react to it in all kinds of ways, but more often than not, I see people walk away being encouraged. And sometimes that's out of a kind of an earthly place, like, at least I don't have to deal with that, you know, like, but a lot of times it is, oh, look what God is doing through his life, through Christina's life, in spite of the difficulty. And when you allow God to lift you up out of your hopeless situation, he's not just going to save you. He's going to lift a lot of other people up around you.
That's powerful, and it's so true. That is so powerful. I like what you said. I like the way you put that, because it is a fact, and I am a witness. As we move along with the next question, why is it important, Brother Scott, why is it important to give God glory in every circumstance in our life?
I think that question goes along so well with the question you just asked. So when people see us in our life story, they're looking. That's kind of what you're saying. So they're going to see how you react in things, see how you you know, talk about your spouse or your faith or God when you're down, because it's really easy to praise God when things are great. You know, you're blessed and your family's good and everything's fine. But you know, when push comes to shove, it's in the hard times. How is our faith when things are hard, when we're being tested?
Yes.
Absolutely. And
that's the real test.
Yeah, you know, and James 1, I was just reading before the interview here, and that's where we read, "Count it all joy, my brothers." You know, and I was just thinking about that. That's kind of what you're asking in this question, and it lines up with some other verses I can think of. But, you know, I think when we have the perspective of what God has promised, it changes a lot about how we deal with the here and now. And, you know, it goes on to say that, you know, the testing of our faith produces steadfastness, is what it says in one translation, the ESV, I think. And so I was thinking about that, and I really think, James, that without Christ, testing produces frustration. It produces more sin, it can actually produce a lot of selfishness. We can put up walls against suffering. We can try to block it out. We can run from it, but we'll never escape it in this life. This world is a fallen world. But when we trust in Christ, then as Christians, when we are tested, the Bible says here that it produces steadfastness. And that's kind of opposite of what you might expect. You keep getting tested and tested, and you face this trial and that suffering. And God says it's going to refine you. It's going to improve your character. It's going to refine you like a fire sometimes. It's going to hurt a little bit. But Jesus went to the cross. Imagine that, following him to the cross. But then he ascended to glory, and that's what he has for us if we trust him. And so this suffering now is temporary. And when you start to live from an eternal perspective, you realize that, okay, suffering is only temporary, but if I praise God in the midst of that suffering, I can bring more people into the kingdom with me.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is so true. My final question to you all on tonight is, why is it important to be an asset to the kingdom of God? And some people don't think that that's important, but to God it's very important that we be assets and not liabilities. So the question again is, why is it important to be an asset to the kingdom of God?
Well, the first thing that jumps into my head, James, when you say that is, I just think of that there's ground that's claimed for the kingdom and ground that's claimed for the enemy. So there's nothing that's neutral, right? So we're on God's side or we're not. We're against him or we're for him. So if we think of ourselves in a spiritual battle, which we are in, we need to be soldiers, onward Christian soldiers, like that old hymn says.
Yes,
and so we need to be fighting and be battle ready because we are in the battle, and our goal is to recruit other soldiers for God's kingdom and to defeat the enemy along with him.
And that's the thing. Once you've made that decision to follow Christ and God is inviting you to the winning team. He's inviting you to the winning side. It's already done. Evil is defeated.
Oh yeah, we all
He just hasn't closed. He just hasn't closed the door on that yet. He's given us more time, more people to repent and experience the grace he has for them. But you know, if you're listening and you've placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, you can still drag your feet a bit. It takes a lifetime of sanctification for God to work on us. And, you know, for some of us, it happens slower or faster than others. But, you know, the way I look at it, God is going to accomplish his purposes.
Oh, yes.
End of story. He accomplished them in 2020. He's going to accomplish his purposes in 2021. And you can kind of struggle a bit, but at the end of the day, don't you want to be used by God in accomplishing his purposes?
Yes, Lord. Yes. And that's a personal question. That's personal. And I never said that for anyone else. Everyone has to answer that for themselves. Like you said, it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. Some people look at it and make you think it's a physical battle, but it's not. It's spiritual. The Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. So, yes, this is a spiritual battle that we're on. And as the old gospel hymn says, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. So right now, I just want to know that ends and conclude our questions for tonight, Brother Scott and Sister Christina. And you all have answered them so well on tonight. But before I release you all on tonight, I want to play song number two. And then following song number two, Brother Scott, I want you to be able to come back and give the listening audience information how they can, how you can be contacted. And then also if you want to share your information as how they can donate to your ministry, you can do that after song number two. We're going to go to song number two right now.
It's all too much.
Scott, did you give us the name of that song, song number two?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first song was Look Up, and there's a cool music video for Look Up on YouTube or on my website too, scottmcintyre.com. And the second one there was called Safe in My Arms, and that's a cool song. A lady came up to me after one of our events just the other night and said that she lost her daughter to domestic abuse. So sad. But then God gave her a picture in her mind of her daughter safe in the arms of Jesus. And so when I sang that song, she knew exactly what God was saying to her. And it's called Safe in My Arms. And you can go to scottmcintyre.com, and I'll spell it for you. It's the Scottish spelling. It's S-C-O-T-T for Scott. McIntyre is M-A-C-I-N-T-Y-R-E, scottmcintyre.com. And if you click on Scott McIntyre Ministries there, you can see the new road God has called us onto in ministry. You can see the TV special there. There's lots of videos and things to watch as well.
And also on that same site, I think I saw something where you can see parts of you in the hospital after you had your kidney transplants.
Yeah. And the TV special we just did, it's called Enduring Hope. And we were able to share a little bit of that story on there too. But there's several videos, that are floating around on scottmcintyre.com and online in general about that time when I went through the surgery, and we were able to share parts of that story with people to encourage them and to raise awareness about organ donation and all kinds of stuff. So, but I'm so honored to be here with you, James. And if anyone would like to reach out, you can get in touch with me and Christina also on scottmcintyre.com.
Okay. And also, because this is a worldwide ministry and platform, you never know how the Lord is going to touch someone's heart. So I want to give you an opportunity and a chance to let the listeners know, in case of someone who wanted to donate financially to you, how would they be able to do that?
That's so kind of you, James. And if you want to join us on this journey and help us share this message with more people, you can go to scottmcintyre.com. You just click on Scott McIntyre Ministries, and there's a donate button. And you can read a lot more about what we're doing. It's so cool because American Idol touched so many parts of the world, but now we're able to go to places we could never go before because of the support of others. And I've been as far away as Vietnam. I've been to just before the pandemic, I was in Jordan with the refugee kids from Iraq and Syria over there. And I got to share the gospel to roomfuls of refugees and their families, and it's all made possible because of the donations of others. And now we're We're able to share that message through television as well at a time when a lot of people are still feeling isolated. And that's how, you know, how James and me and Christina got connected was through the TV special.
That's right.
So in different ways, we're sharing this story and the music in order to help people encounter Jesus more deeply through the arts.
Amen. And I do believe that through the ministry, God has placed you and your wife, Christina, in because you're traveling around the world, sharing your testimonies. You're also ministering through music, and you're spreading the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. And so that's why I believe God together, when I got up that early that morning and turned my TV on and I saw you, and that's when the Lord placed it in my heart to reach out to you and your ministry. So I just give God the glory for it. So now I know that you are my brother in Christ and your wife, my sister in Christ. I just thank God for the connection. Can't nobody do it like God can.
Amen. And we are so blessed. We are so blessed to know you, James, and I just feel honored to be with you for this time. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're both quite welcome. And I, if it be the Lord's will and he says so, I will have you on again. But I just want to say right now, I want to thank you, Brother Scott and your wife, for taking the time out to be my special guest on tonight over this worldwide platform. And we know that God has been glorified through this broadcast on tonight. And just as we were saying earlier, God's word is not, and whatever we do for God is not going to go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that he set out for it to do. Because he already knows who's going to be listening. He knows what we all stand in need of. So you all was a blessing to me, not only to me, but my worldwide listeners. I know that they was blessed by having you all come on and share what you share with us through your testimony and through answering these questions and through your music, that God has been glorified. So I want to say again, thank you, Brother Scott and Sister Christina McIntyre. Continue to keep up the great work in kingdom building. We're getting ready to close out for tonight.
Thank you.
I want you all to know that I love you. I know that God loves you even more. So I'm not going to do a closing prayer. I'm going to close out with a closing song. I give you praise. Why? Because God is worthy to be praised. Until the next time, until this coming Saturday, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Once again, Brother Scott and Sister Christina, thank you so much and continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Thank you, James. Continue to do what you do. We love you.
Amen. God bless you.